Revive us again. Amen. Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and banished our night. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Pastor got me going on that first verse, and it was totally wrong. I was listening at him. Hello. That's not what this says. Okay, number three. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has taken our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May his soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again.
Brother Higgins, lead us in prayer, would you please?
Father, again, we're grateful tonight to be able to be here in your house. Your presence, the presence of our friends and brethren in Christ. Pray now that you'll bless this service tonight, bless every phase of it, every word that's spoken, every song that's sung. May it all be done in a way that pleases to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit walk among us tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated, and it's good to see you here on a Tuesday night. It isn't raining, and the sun is still shining, and you're here in the house of the Lord, and we're glad to be here, and the Lord is with us.
Amen.
Don't ever lose sight of that. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst of them. And let's never forget that. Sometimes we may, you know, let it slide and forget that the Lord is with us. He's with us all the time. Did you know that?
Amen.
He is. The Bible tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, if he doesn't leave us nor forsake us, that means he's with us, doesn't he? And we're thankful tonight to be here and glad that you've come out tonight. And I think we're going to hear some more about Jonah tonight. By the way, the preacher was almost late tonight. He says there was a great pile up of automobiles down on the freeway down there, and they had one of them that was covered over, which means that some daddy may not be going home tonight to his family and kids. Won't it be wonderful to get in a place where there'll be no death, no sorrow, no crying, no heartaches? Just hope he's saved, that's right. Anyway, drive carefully when you're out there, will you? All right, we've got some more good songs tonight that we're going to be singing, and I think we've got a extraordinary good special tonight. I think that's the words that Jackie wanted to use. Anyway, let's sing. Come on, Brother David.
Let's turn over to 695. Shall we gather at the river?
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow never, neath the glory of the yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Amen. 692. 692. When the roll is called up yonder.
Amen. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. For our offering, we're going to sing Bring Them In. That's number 682. Would everyone rise, please? And if we could get a couple ushers to come up at the end of the verse, the song that is, appreciate it. Thank you.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray. Go find my shepherd, fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Oh, go and help this shepherd kind. Help him the wandering ones to find. Oh, bring the lost ones to the fold. Well, they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, go out and bring them in. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Brother David, would you lead us in prayer? Our prayers go out to those of our congregation who are sick and unable to attend. I think in particular Brother Wayne. I spoke to him this past Monday when I was over at his house and asked him if he thought that possibly he could come over here. I said, we'll help you. We'll bring a truck. We'll get a half a dozen of us and we'll try our best to get you there. But he didn't think that he could make it. He's anchored to that oxygen machine, and it's the type that you can't move around. If you do, you'll get the thing out of adjustment, and it'll keep going and going and going like it's producing oxygen. And he's down here on the business end of it, sniffing that stuff, and there's nothing coming out of it. It's happened before. But anyway, he'll be listening to this, and he'll mention it whenever he gets our tape. But he'll be able to hear all of the messages that Brother Langley has been bringing us, and he'll enjoy those and get a blessing out of them. Others are sick of our congregation. We need to hold them up in prayer. And after the service tomorrow night, tomorrow's Wednesday, this is going to be the last night. We've got to get Jonah out of that whale's belly somehow. If we don't do it tomorrow, we may have to come back Thursday and do it. But anyway, after the service tomorrow night, we're going to, what was it, filet mignon? I heard somebody talk. Sandwiches. Anyway, we'll have a time of fellowship at the conclusion of the service tomorrow night and give you an opportunity to get further acquainted with this wonderful family that's been down here with us. By the way, we've got another song tonight, guys. Wonderful. Okay, good. You nodded your head. Are you going to sing? No. Okay. But Jackie's going to sing for us now. Amen? Okay.
Thank you.
That's a hard act to follow, but you can do it. Come on. Wonderful. I've gotten such a blessing this week out of hearing them sing. I'm going to get used to it. All right. Remember tomorrow night, be out here at 6:30. Bring someone with you. Okay? Brother Joe, come.
Well, It's good to be here again tonight. It's good to be here somewhat on time. Traffic was a little heavy tonight as a result of the accident and different things. But I was thinking about this afternoon. I'd just like to praise the Lord for his working in this meeting already. You know, as a preacher, oftentimes it's those couple of first days that it takes for people to kind of get sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit. And I believe I started to sense that last night. And so I want to praise the Lord for that. But I also want to remind each and every one of us that we only have two more days. And, you know, as we consider Jonah, how he just kind of put off the leading of the Lord. And there were consequences for it. And, you know, in our own spiritual welfare, there's consequences to not making decisions when the Holy Spirit starts tugging on those heartstrings. And I know that the Lord is working, so let me just encourage you once again to consider that tonight is the second to the last night of our revival. And I sure have been blessed with the opportunity to be here with y'all and to be preaching God's word. So looking forward to tonight. Well, if you found your little ribbon and you just open your Bible up to the book of Jonah, we are going to see Jonah inside of the great fish's belly, all right? So stand with me if you would tonight. Jonah chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 17, just where Pastor Wetzel wanted us to be. All right, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observed lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have owed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for this account. And Lord, there's many accounts in the word of God that we can look to, and Lord, this account is not so that we can pick on Jonah or look at his testimony and rebuke a prophet that was disobedient to thee, but Lord, you preserved your word. You preserved this book for our benefit, that we might learn, that we might glean and apply these truths to our own lives. Father, as we consider this second to the last night of this revival, Father, I pray that you would draw your children closer to thee. Father, that you would grow us, that you would mature us. Father, that you would mold us and shape us into the very image of your dear Son. Father, that we might be that child of God that is a light in this dark world, that that you would help us to be that light on a hill, that we might not hide it under a bushel, but Father, that we might let the Spirit of God and His attributes in our lives shine into this world. Father, I pray again that you would be with my thoughts, with my words. Father, that you would empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit, and help me to say only those things which are pleasing to thee. And Father, we'll ask that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done here tonight. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I want you to imagine a special event. You can pick it, all right? It might be maybe a wedding day, could be maybe a day for graduation and somebody in your family, just something very special. I can think back when Sheree and I were relatively early married. We were somewhat newlyweds, I think, and I can remember that there was an anniversary that was going to be taking place, and it was my grandparents' wedding anniversary of 60 years, and quite a milestone for a couple. And I'll tell you, the whole family was excited about going. Everybody had made plans to be there. My grandparents lived in Deer Lodge, Tennessee, in the Smoky Mountains. They're just a great place. Spent many a summers there as a teenage boy with my grandfather working in the farm or working in the garden and helping him with different projects that he had. And so I had a close relationship with my grandfather and my grandmother. And listen, I wasn't going to miss it. All of my aunts and uncles were not going to miss that special event. And so I was still active duty Air Force at the time, and so I put in for my leave request, and I made it. And I know that my sister and brother-in-law, they made plans to be there, and my parents were there, my aunts and uncles were there, and their cousins. I think that there was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 people all going there to celebrate my grandparents' wedding anniversary. It's a special time. And, you know, one thing that we might not consider, because it almost seems like, a truth that you don't even have to think about. But oftentimes we fail to remember this truth in other aspects of our life. And I'll just say it this way. It's impossible to be in two different places at the same time. I couldn't be in Deer Lodge, Tennessee, and celebrate my grandparents' wedding anniversary if I was in Goldsboro, North Carolina, where I was based at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base. Couldn't happen. After the meeting tonight, we are going to get in our vehicle and we are going to leave Chula Vista and we are going to go to Escondido. We can't stay here in Chula Vista because our home is in Escondido. Just last week, my boss sprang a training event on me and said, I know it's short notice, but is it possible that you go to this class I've got for you in New Jersey? And I said, how short of notice are we talking about? He said, a week. I need you to go next Tuesday. I said, I'm sorry, I can't, I've got plans. And because I turned down those plans was because I understood that I couldn't be here preaching revival if I was going to be in a place called New Jersey. So we can look at that truth in the physical realm, but I want us to understand something tonight, that we can't be in two places at the same time. Jonah, as we read, was in a place. He was in that place of the belly of the great fish that the Lord had prepared for him. You know, up until chapter 2, we see Jonah in a place. Now, I'm not talking about the physical place. I'm not talking You know, there in chapter 1, we could say, yes, Jonah was somewhere in between Tarshish and Joppa. He was on a ship somewhere in between those two places. But I'm not talking about that physical place. We could say there in chapter 1 that Jonah was somewhere where God didn't want him to be. And that is true. What is that place that we're talking about? We're talking about that place of disobedience. You can't be in a place of disobedience and be in a place of obedience. You can't do it. It's impossible. Just as much as it is impossible for you to be here tonight and be home at the same very time. It is just as impossible to be in two physical places as well as two spiritual places. Jonah was not in that place of being an obedient prophet. He was not preaching God's word as God would have him to the Ninevites. He was not acting or conducting himself like a child of God. He was not serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was serving himself. Supposedly, he was a God-fearing man. He was a minister, meaning he was one that attended to the needs of others. He is one of God's representatives, one of his messengers, and yet the sailors, as we mentioned last night, had no idea who this Jonah was. They didn't know that he was a messenger. They had no idea that he was a servant of the creator of all things. They had no idea that he was a Hebrew, that he worshiped the Jehovah God. Because he was in that, and we've all used this word before, he was in that backslidden place. He was in that place where his heart was hard towards the things of God. We are saying that a person like that has moved from that place where God can and is using them to that place where God can't and won't use them. See, God won't use a dirty vessel. God won't use a vessel that's on the wrong pathway, if you will. They had to move from that place of being soft towards the things of God and being submissive to his leadership by being obedient to that place of disobedience. If we are truly honest with ourselves, we can easily find ourselves there as well. You know, a day or two not in the Word of God. You know, a day or two not spending any time with the Lord in prayer. You know, oftentimes, but we can very easily find ourselves in that place where we can come to church one way and leave the church the same way if we're not careful. Because we should be coming to a church service, looking to hear from God, preparing ourselves for the preaching of God's word. But we could be at that point where we realize that church isn't really having an effect on me like it used to. You know, I go and all, but I leave the same way that I came. You know, I remember those days when I was looking forward to going to church because I knew that the Holy Spirit of God was going to speak to me. And I knew that when I left that place of the house of God that I was going to have that peace within my heart because I submitted myself to the working of the Holy Spirit. I remember those days. And yet sometimes we can get ourselves in that slump where we don't have that same feeling. We don't have that same attitude. Now, I can remember when Caroline was just a little thing, still sleeping in a crib, and at the time we were living in Kentucky, and I can remember my wife coming to me very fearful. You know, she came to me, and I was like, "What is wrong? Caroline is not in the bed." And we searched all over the house, and we could not find Caroline, 2 years old. And that's a scary place to be. We're checking all the doors, making sure that the doors are locked, making sure that she didn't get out somehow on her own. And we were looking absolutely everywhere. And we finally found her under the bed, under that crib. And Sheree had those skirts around the bottom. And so there was just maybe 6 inches of material between the floor and that material. And so she just climbed up under there and you couldn't even see her. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. And that was scary. You think about us in the physical realm, and then we even think of our own children maybe in that place of disobedience. Maybe they're in that place living a lifestyle that we know is dangerous, that we know that it wouldn't take very much and their life could be snuffed out just like that. You know how scary that is for a parent? Maybe you don't know, but I'm sure that you can imagine what it must be like. And then think of if I love my wife and I love my children that much, and I know that when I compare myself to God's love, my love is flawed, and yet His is perfect. And when He sees us in that wrong place, think about how that must scare Him. How that must fear Him. Now, I understand God is an all-knowing God. He knows exactly what decisions we're going to make even before that we make them. But He still also knows the consequences that we're going to have to face. So we see here in our text, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." I believe that if I were to be swallowed up by a fish, that would have gotten my attention. I've never been swallowed by a fish. Now I've had my finger, I've had half of my hand inside of a fish, and that will get your attention at times. I remember again when Caroline was just a baby and we were traveling up to Charleston, South Carolina. And at that time I was in the reserves for the Air Force, and I was going up there for my 1 weekend a month after I had gotten off active duty. And we're just probably about maybe 20, 25 minutes outside of Charleston. And Caroline is still probably about six months old, facing rearward in her car seat. Jacob was in the very back, also in a car seat, and he was about three. Cody was in a booster seat, so all the kids were small. And I can remember on that divided highway doing about 65 miles an hour, almost to Charleston, South Carolina, when a drunk driver pulled out in front of us. And I hit that van doing about 60, 65 miles an hour. The van was only about 6 months old, and it was totaled. And I can remember when the fire rescue got there and the police got there. At this point, well, just a little insight of the accident. As I hit this vehicle, the whole van kind of spun around 180 degrees out. And so while we were sitting there in the middle of traffic, the whole front of the van is completely smashed in. It's at night. We have no lights on the front of the car because they're all smashed out. And we have 18-wheelers coming at us doing 65 miles an hour. And the only thing that I could think of is I've got to get the family out of the van. And so I'm opening my door. I've got other people around me opening up the doors to the van, and they're grabbing my children. I have no idea where they're going, but people see the danger as we are sitting there in the middle of the road, and they get everybody out, and it's kind of cool that night, and so we all go into this local Burger King that was there on the corner. But I can remember when the fire trucks came and the police came, and talking with them, they saw that accident, and they said, "Where are the fatalities? Where are those major injuries?" And yet, we basically walked out of that accident unscathed because I know now that the Lord had us in the palm of His hand. But what I also realized shortly thereafter was the Lord was trying to get my attention. He was trying to shake me up a bit. You know, have you ever been kind of daydreaming when somebody's talking to you and you don't really hear what they're saying? Don't say nothing. You know, you're just kind of there. Something else is on your mind and somebody's talking and it's just want, 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 you know. Sometimes it takes a little shaking. Hey, I'm talking to you. You know, sometimes the Lord has to do something like that in our life as well, just like that car accident. You know, because I knew at this point that the Lord had called me into full-time ministry. But I was an airline pilot. I'd been working on being an airline pilot for a long time. I've always wanted to be an airline pilot ever since I was just a little guy. And I was there. And now the Lord's calling me into full-time service. And so I was pondering that. I was analyzing that. I was considering those things. I was daydreaming. And the Lord had to shake me up with an accident. He got my attention. The Lord had to do something in Jonah's life. We talked about last night, Jonah was all in. He was ready to be dealt with by the Lord. And so we see that the Lord does just that. He deals with Jonah. And look at what takes place in chapter 2. Remember, everything prior to chapter 2, where is Jonah? He is in that place of disobedience. He's in that place being rebellious towards the Lord. And now we see that something takes place after Jonah is swallowed up and is in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed. That's the first time that we have witnessed, if you will, Jonah praying. If you remember, the sailors came to Jonah and said, "Pray unto your God." We've already prayed to our gods, and nothing has taken place. We're still in the same situation. Pray unto your God. Did Jonah pray unto his God? He did not. Until he was in the belly of the whale. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." I want you to realize these words too. Listen, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried." You see how all of this is past tense? We're going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow night as well. But the Lord used Jonah to recall this story of his life. Jonah is giving us basically his testimony here. He's explaining to us some of the decisions that he's made in his life and how he's almost, I would say even like this, he's almost embarrassed being a prophet, being a child of God, that he even found himself in this place. He said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Can you see the picture that he's drawing here? He's out there. He's just been cast off the ship into the sea, and those waves are just compassing him. He's being consumed by these waves. And then we see where he's starting to go down. "Then I said, I am cast out thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple." Verse 5, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about." Now he's going down. "The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He's saying that those that are outside, that they're listening to these vanities, these things of emptiness, listen, they're missing out on the mercies that God has for them. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you see the beginning of the movement that Jonah's taking place, or that's taking place in Jonah's life? He's moving from that place of disobedience, and he's experiencing, I'm going blank. He's experiencing, hang on, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Why? Because Jonah experienced repentance. He was sorry for what he had done. He's no longer in the fish because he is no longer in that place of disobedience. And so what has taken place? God has witnessed this repentance take place, and he speaks to the fish, and now the fish has vomited Jonah up on the shore. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So what takes place in the life of a person that has gone through repentance? There's some proof of that repentance. There's some action that takes place because of that repentance. And we see that in chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Has the message changed? Absolutely not. The only thing that's changed is Jonah's heart. He's no longer disobedient, he's obedient. He's no longer prideful, he's humble. He's no longer self-serving, but he's God-serving. And we see that. So Jonah, verse 3, arose, and instead of fleeing, it says, and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. We already talked about that on Sunday morning. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the original warning that Jonah was supposed to give on day one. When God came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh and cry unto it, because the wickedness has come up before me. Now instead of him running, now he arose and he's being obedient unto the Lord. And so Jonah, being a preacher, being a messenger, being that child of God, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And look at what happens when a Christian is submissive to the working of the Lord. Verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloths, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. So here's Jonah coming to the place of Nineveh, preaching unto the people. The king has listened, they have believed, and now they're beginning to worship. Now they're beginning to make sacrifices. Now they're beginning to make some changes in their own life. Here's Jonah making some changes in his life. He's moving from that place of disobedience, and he's moving to the place of obedience. And now we see the same thing taking place in the people of Nineveh. They're no longer living that life of wickedness. Now they're living that life of belief. They're living that life of sacrifice. They're living that life of serving the Lord. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know what took place here? Revival. Just what we're praying about here tonight. One person can be preaching God's word, be preaching repentance, and when people believe, when people receive that as truth, when people receive that as fact, and they apply it to their lives, what takes place? Action takes place. Worship takes place. Service takes place. And when that takes place, it affects everybody. Man, it affected the king here, did it not? And he was telling everybody what to do because of Jonah's king. And then let's apply it to our life. Think about what would happen if just one person experienced revival. If one person truly exercised repentance in their heart and applied it to their own life. And when they applied it to their own life, it affected those around them. You know, maybe it only takes one in Bible Baptist Church of Chula Vista to get everybody on fire for the Lord. To give everybody that zeal for serving him. And man, could you imagine what a church could do in a place called Chula Vista? If one obedient servant can make a difference like Jonah did in Nineveh. I mean, we serve the same God, don't we? Absolutely. Was it Jonah that made them repent? No. God just simply told them to go and to preach. Cry unto them, I'll do the rest. But people had to make decisions on their own. These individuals had to believe. And that's where it takes, that's what takes place in our own life as well. We have to believe. There is proof of repentance. James said it this way in James chapter 2, verse 18, I will show thee my faith by my works. There is a works that takes place because of our faith. Do you know how we could show that this revival meeting is producing revival? Moving from the place that we are, moving to the place where God would have us to be. That's what revival is. Moving. Don't fool yourself. I can't fool myself any longer. You can't be in two places at the same time. Either you are in a place of disobedience, you're in a place of that backslidden condition, you're in that place where your heart is hard towards the things of God, where you are in that place where you are serving yourself, or you're in that place of complete submission. You're in that place of obedience. You're in that place where your heart is soft towards the things of God, where you are willing to do whatever it takes. Jesus Christ is our example. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to give it all. And he is the perfect example for us. We need to be willing to give it all for him. So where are you tonight? That's really the simple message that I'm trying to, through God's word, bring across tonight. We can't be somewhere in the middle. We can no longer be on the fence. There's no such thing. Amen. Spiritually speaking, you're either here or you're there. So let's just ask ourselves tonight, where are you? Are you where God wants you to be? Or are you where you want to be? Because if you are where you want to be, then most likely you're not where God wants you to be. Because we either put him first or we put ourselves first. Either we're led by the flesh or we're led by the Spirit, because there is a war taking place. I experienced that war myself on the way to this meeting. I knew that I had to be here at 6:30. And there were things in my way that was hindering me from being here at 6:30. And you know what? I had to fight the flesh, because the flesh wanted to get angry. The flesh wanted me to lose my testimony. My flesh wanted to be in control, but I had to remember God's in control. He allowed this accident to take place. And many times those unpleasant events that are before us, and it could be as simple as traffic. You know what the Lord is doing? He's growing us. He's maturing us. He's molding us and shaping us to be that very vessel unto honor. He wants us to be on His pathway. What is that pathway? He wants us to be on that righteous pathway for His name's sake. And understand this too, that these trials, these difficulties, these events that the Lord uses to get our attention, to redirect our focus, it's only for a short time. Yea, though I walk through the valley, right? Shadow of death. You're walking through. It's not a permanent place. Jonah was in the belly of the whale, but it wasn't permanent. He is now on the shore, on the beach. He might have some pieces of dead fish stuck to him, but listen, he's no longer in the belly, right? And so we have to realize that, listen, the Lord oftentimes is going to bring some unpleasant events to our life. But if we'll just trust Him, if we'll just believe, if we'll just submit ourselves and allow Him to move us from that place of disobedience to that place of obedience, He can use us in a great and mighty way. And He wants to. He loves each and every one of us more than we can even fathom. And many times He just wants us to experience His power. Many times He just wants us to experience that fellowship that He wants to have with us if we will just be obedient. So where are you tonight? Are you in that same place that you were yesterday and the day before, last week, last month, last year? Because what we should be doing is moving closer and closer and closer to Him. That's what the Christian walk is. It's a walk where we're growing and we're maturing. Listen, we know that if we had a child and that child stayed the same size as it was when it was born, we would know that there's something wrong with that child, right? That child should be growing. That child should be maturing. That child should be eating. That child should be feeding. Getting stronger. That should be us as well in the Christian life. We should be growing. We should be maturing. We should be feasting on God's word. We should be maturing. We should be getting closer. You know, when that child grows, many times, family and friends, man, they look a lot like you, right? Well, what should happen in our own life as we're growing? We should be looking more and more like Christ. Amen. So are you looking more and more like Christ than you were last year? Are you more mature today than you were last month? Are you being more and more obedient than you were last week? Because I have found that out too. My children, as they have grown, have become more and more obedient because of the training, right? And God is training us as we go through these different experiences. I don't know if the Lord is shaking you up right now. You know, oftentimes the Lord will shake us up by even a brother or sister in Christ. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I noticed. Let me encourage you. That's not what the Christian life is all about. Sometimes it's just a rebuke. Maybe sometimes it's the preacher, right, during a message, stepping on your toes. Sometimes the Lord uses different events, different people to get our attention. So why don't we get our focus on the Lord? Why don't we allow Him to move us from that place where Jonah was in chapter 1 to that place in chapter 2 and chapter 3? It's your choice. Only one more night. Let's ask the Lord to do a work tonight, all right? Father, again, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this account in Jonah's life. We thank you for using him as this instrument that you inspired to put these words in your holy book, Father. And again, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to repent and to turn from our ways and turn unto you. Father, thank you for second chances. Thank you for this second chance that you gave Jonah. And I thank you for the many chances that you have given me. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, you are such a good and awesome God. And so, Father, we just ask again that during this time of invitation, that you would prick hearts, that you would help those that truly know that they're not in that place where you would have them to be. Help them to be obedient and move, Father, to that place of obedience, that place of complete submission. And Lord, we'll just turn the invitation time over to you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as David begins to sing. Listen, don't put it off. If you know that the Lord wants you to move, then move from your seat right now to this old-fashioned altar and let the Lord have his perfect will and way tonight.
497.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Langley, for that wonderful message. We're glad again that you came tonight. I believe that God has spoken to our hearts again through his word by his messenger. Amen. And it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. Amen. Appreciate each one of you that are here tonight. And remember, work hard tomorrow. Let's fill the place up, get as many people out here as we can. And then we'll be concluding the preaching part of it, but the revival goes on. Amen. Amen. As we're dismissed in prayer tonight, Brother Gene, would you lead us, please, in our prayer?